Thank you, Zoom lady. I turn camera off so internet doesn't
Oh,
fuck
yeah,
me.
that is wise.
And I'll set the backup recording going on OBS.
Thank you. Sorry that this is going to be a bitch to edit because of my own coffee mishap.
Yeah, that's the cold open for the episode now. MJ had a coffee mishap, but this episode's being recorded on their phone on their end.
Trigger warning, this phone,
And on my end, I have a special guest. My friend Rita is here.
Hi.
This is Rita. Rita knows fucking nothing about this book. But
Wait, there's a book?
I thought
I
mean,
it
nominally, this book. There's also just an absurd amount of jokes that really don't pay off, but
about actually, speaking of jokes, something that happened in the hiatus that I forgot to bring up last time is Janet O'Keefe made and sent me a mock-up of Sun Wukharren.
Oh, fuck yeah, Janet. Amazing.
Hold on, MJ, I will send that to you so you can see it.
Ooh,
I
that's a
need to see this.
pretty person.
This is so, I don't know, I will not spend 10 minutes explaining our in jokes. But
Incredible, incredible.
Rita, how would you describe this image as someone who does not have context at all for this?
Cool leggings.
Is it the face? Is it the face of someone who asked to speak to Death's manager?
My so this is yeah, like I don't know, yeah. Sun Wukharren, so it's a woman with the famous Karen haircut, Sun Wukong's headband and like painted face,
Amazing.
a kind of like a silk robe, a red silk robe with a sash across the middle. She's holding the rod. I think the most important detail, and I just think absolute perfection on it, is the instead of like the tiger skin pelt, she just has tiger striped leggings.
It's beautiful. I love you, Janet. This
Yeah, that'll almost certainly be the
is
episode art.
incredible. Yes. Yes. Thank you. We love you.
In the actual book, we are on to chapter 73 of Journey to the West. And in the last chapter, the pilgrims drove some spider women out of their home, and are on the road again. And up the road, this is like all hap this is all unusual this is all happening in the same like day as the previous chapter, I'm pretty sure. So up the road from the cobweb ridge, they find the yellow flower Taoist abbey, where they meet a Taoist who runs the place, who is not initially given a name. He has a bit of a description.
Innkeeper.
Sorry.
I said the innkeeper because it's just unfortunate because whenever Tripitaka is kidnapped, he usually at least like gets an overnight. It's gotta save on accommodation a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they're sleeping, but I'm pretty sure they're just meant to be sleeping by the road most nights.
Yeah, but
Just generally like long breaks in between chapters where it's just like months pass without much happening to them. It's not like monsters every goddamn day for them.
it just feels like it.
Yeah, we skip the boring bits. So there's a poem describing this Taoist. It compares his appearance to Tartars and Muslims, so we can say he's probably broadly Central Asian.
Okay, so we're finally, like, at least a little closer to the West.
Yeah. So anyway, he welcomes the pilgrims in. He's going to feed the monks. And he sends two lads to go prepare the place to receive the guests. And the two lads are milling about, and they disturb the Taoist other guests he currently has over, which is the seven spider women from the Cobweb Cave.
They gotta be somewhere. You just evicted them.
Yeah, well, they are his old classmates from back in the day. They refer to each other as like brother and sisters, but I don't think they're not like actually related. It's in the same way as like all the pilgrim disciples refer to each other as brothers, but they were all classmates back in the day when they were all learning magic, basically.
Where the fuck were these people educated?
I have no idea. It just says they were like classmates.
There's a whole magic school tradition we are not aware of.
Yeah, they went to the magic spider school.
20 points to spider women.
He's not actually a spider. We'll get to what he is later.
Oh, I forgot. Is this another thing where they're just like, because they were spinning webs. Is this another thing where they're just like some women?
No, they are spider. They are spiders. He's not a spider.
Okay. Good. All right. I'm just saying. Okay. I can't trust what is real and what is not anymore.
Spider noise.
Just chittering in the background. This is gonna really get us slated on Spider Twitter.
I think they've all moved to Blue Sky at this point.
Less both.
That's worse
for spiders, really. They want more bugs. They're going to starve.
Yeah, but it's the vibe, you know? I mean, you know, they can get the bugs from everywhere else.
Something, something, insert web joke here.
So yeah, anyway, when the spider women realize that the pilgrims are here too, they tell the two lads, and I'm using the word lads because the book does as well. It's like we've had this before. It's very funny to me that they use the word lads for like when these like random Taoists have like assistants or whatever. They use the word lads. It's so casual a word.
Yeah, the monk lads.
Yeah. But so they tell the two lads to go get the Taoist because they need to talk to him now. Apparently he hasn't really talked to them since they arrived, because earlier on in the day he was making drugs that he says for some reason can't be exposed to females. I've no idea. There's that not followed up with at all. I have no idea what that's about.
He's cooking radium.
He has other guests now, so like I'm busy with them. Can we chat later on? And they say no. It's urgent.
We'll be going now.
Yeah, you. This has to. You, we have to talk to you about this before your other guests leave, because, we know who they are, and they explain who the Tong monk is, and that if you eat him, it'll lengthen your life. And we want to eat him. And they explain how they tried to eat him, but they got fought off by the disciples.
So just horribly embarrassing situation all around.
Yeah, the Taoist gets very pissed off about this, and he calls the monks insolent and villainous. The monks who, I mean, okay, they did some prickish bad things, but like,
they I mean, he was gonna be.
The women were trying to eat one of them.
Like, it's no excuse for the horrific sexism, and again, the way that all of this can be avoided if, like so many other chapters, they just treated women as people or spider people. But I don't know how you treat a spider person. But
I mean,
yeah, they did try to eat him. They were eating him.
It is kind of an odd thing, because if Wukong had treated the women like he treats, like, male monsters, normally he would have just killed them, so... I don't know.
And we wouldn't have this horribly awkward situation going on.
True. So the Taoist fetches some poison from the attic. And so he has to measure out a dose of this. So we have the triumphant return of everyone's favorite segment of this podcast.
Is it the measurement?
Overanalyzing units of measurement.
Yeah. This used to be a regular appendix. and if you and like the appendix, it's mostly useless and occasionally painful.
So the unit of weight here is a tail. A modern tail in the People's Republic of China has been standardized to metric, so it's 50 grams, which is a tenth of a metric catty. Those aren't actually the terms you would use if you were in China, but they're the standard terms when referring to those units in English. They came to English from Malay via Portuguese.
Oh, dear.
The Mandarin for a tail would be a liang, and a catty would be a jin. Or as best as I can approximate those pronunciations. Yada, yada, yada. I went on about pronunciations last episode a lot. So anyway, in People's Republic of China currently, I said it's like 50 grams, but there are other definitions, and I did a small little tiny bit of research. I didn't do a deep dive into this, but I saw a couple of figures that would have given a historical, like, pre-metric tail as being, like, 37 grams. And that presumably would have drifted over time from the Tang Dynasty to the Ming Dynasty to now. But, well, I'm just going to use 37 grams as the baseline here. So,
okay.
The dose of this poison required to kill a normal person is given as 1/1000 of a tail, or 37 milligrams.
Okay.
So I looked up the lethality of arsenic, and I found a source that suggested that a fatal dose of inorganic arsenic is somewhere between 70 to 180 milligrams. So this poison is somewhere between twice to five times as deadly per unit of weight as arsenic.
Oh, wow.
And it only takes three times the dose that kills a normal person to kill an immortal.
Okay. Then that's again a little misleading. I've lost track of the rules for immortality in this. Immortality is very bureaucratic in this book.
I mean, generally you can understand immortality as being you won't die of old age.
Yeah, but I suppose that is true.
So he measures out he measures out four doses of the amount that'll kill an immortal. Measuring in milligrams here, it's some very fine equipment. And he takes out 12 red dates and crushes them to make four cups of tea. and adds the immortal level killing dose of poison to each one. And for himself, he makes some tea out of two black crushed dates, and he brings this out to the monks, and he gives all the red date tea to the monks. He takes the black tea for himself.
Okay, at which so, point, this is going to the monks and not the spider women?
Yeah, he's poisoning the monks.
Okay, well, also, that's kind of a waste, because then the spider... Leaving the morals of that situation aside, but it's also a waste, because then the spider women can't eat the flesh of Tripitaka.
They still intend to eat him. It's whatever way this poison works, it seems they seem to at least reckon it won't taint the meat.
Well, okay. Who am I to argue with the spider?
I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know much about poison. Maybe if it kills you fast enough, you know, it's not gonna be in the flesh. I don't know how fucking poison works.
Yeah, me neither. Actually, I do not know enough to comment.
Yeah, when they're brought this tea, Sun Wukong immediately notices that the Taoist has poured a conspicuously very different cup of tea for himself to the four cups of tea they're all being given. And immediately asks him to swap cups with him. So, the Taoist tries to make excuses that he only had 12 of the nice, lovely red dates left, so he wanted to give those to his guests, and he took the shitty black dates for himself. So he's just being humble here. That he's giving the good stuff to his guests.
I'm just being a good host.
Exactly.
This is very awkward. Well, you got to point that out.
Sun Wukong doesn't buy this at all. Unfortunately, Tripitaka does, and he tells Sun Wukong to stop being rude.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, so Wukong just kind of pretends to drink with the rest of them. He covers his cup with his hand so no one can see that he's not actually drinking anything. And while he does that, his three companions promptly fall over, dying.
Yeah, I forget that Wukong is also a doctor, apparently. Somehow.
I mean...
Poisonologist.
He does seem to somehow know a bunch about medicine, but...
Like, he heard that cane going through the menopause.
Yes, this is true.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there was a menopausal cane.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, in this instance, I think it was just kind of obvious. Hey, this guy poured a completely different cup of tea for himself than for the rest of us. Something is suspicious here, so... I don't think it takes a doctor to, like, realize something's up there.
I mean, I sort of assumed that he was just going to, like, let the others die of social mores and then try and heal them, but it is Wukong we're talking about, so.
Oh yeah, he doesn't actually know how to cure this poison yet, so. Wukong throws his cup at the Taoist, who blocks it with his sleeve and then shouts at Wukong for smashing his cup. So you literally just poisoned all of this man's friends, and you're just like, how dare you smash my mug?
I get this. This has gone very much... Yeah, this is... this is very much a comedy of manners at this point.
I feel like this has got... This has automatically gone all the way to, like, anime villain. This Taoist fella seems like... he's got anime villain vibes.
Funny you should mention.
It's kind of just like, you know, oh wow, instead of getting angry at the everybody dying and people, you know, not accepting his mug, he just gets pissy over the little things, you know? It's about respect. It's about the, you know. He's very, very more vibes than actual ill will. Ill vibes.
It's making me think about ill bleed now, which is something that no one listening to this is going to know what that is. But it's a very weird Dreamcast survival horror game that lives rent free in my head.
Ill bleed.
It's an experience. Yeah. So anyway.
Wait, was that the one with Pepsi Man?
It's the one with Killer Man, who is Killer Man, who is somehow a weird parody of Pepsi Man, and also a serial killer, and also has superpowers, and is also the spirits of the dead.
I don't know what Pepsi Man is either, so that's my level of knowledge here.
Oh, Pepsi Man is a weird. Pepsi Man is a weird Pepsi mascot that was only ever used in Japan.
I'm gonna look him up.
This advertising campaign where it was like Pepsi Man is this kind of weird T-1000 liquid metal superhero that saves people by giving them Pepsi. And all the ads are like filmed in America, and all over, like everyone in the ads is American, but they were only ever broadcast in Japan.
Unappreciated.
There's also a PlayStation game where you play as Pepsi Man.
Oh, he's faceless and terrifying.
Yes.
I mean, I think this would be more effective than the sugar taxes.
It's even worse when you see his mouth, because he sometimes has a really weird mouth.
Oh, that's just the void, isn't it?
The episode art is going to be half Sun Wukharan, half Pepsi Man,
and they're making it.
I'm not going to try and Photoshop that together myself, but you know, if anyone wants to draw some fan art,
if anyone wants to make that happen, I mean, I'm not gonna be grateful for that. I don't know why my brain brought up that cursed image, but I will be impressed.
I am worried at how Rita stood to attention when I said that.
I have other evil plots to be doing, but I could be tempted.
Yeah, anyway, plot is happening, probably. Plot,
yes. Everyone else has curbed their enthusiasm to death, and Wukong and the Taoist are upright, and the Taoist is really upset that his mug is broken.
They start
to him by long the spider story. Women at graduation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a little memento.
Yeah, it says class of ?? And then some script you can't read without breaking your brain.
Without knowing classical Chinese.
I was thinking like old Enochian style, but you know, classical Chinese too. I'm sure it would break your brain if you're just learning classical Chinese.
I mean, from my understanding, even if you can read modern Chinese, it, like, classical Chinese is very different.
I mean, have you read Beowulf?
Fair point.
That'll break your brain.
So yeah, they start fighting anyway, and the spiders hear the ruckus and rush out to help their brother and try and web Wukong, and Wukong realizes things are turning against him and he flies away, and they encase the abbey completely in webs.
It's Some privacy while you're devouring is nice.
Yeah, so Wukong summons the local spirit again and asks for some more intel on the monsters. He learns that their original form is, as we've established, spiders. And he's like, ah, that makes sense. And he formulates a plan. So he summons 70 Sun Wukong clones, who all dig their rods into the webs and just kind of start rolling them up. So they start like just like spinning the rods to gather up all the webs, and it drags out all the spiders with them, who at this point are actually in giant spider form now and caught in their own
Yay.
Webs. So Wukong tells the Taoist he will spare the spiders if the Taoist saves the monks and lets them go. And the spiders beg their brother to free them, or to free the Tong monk and save their lives. But the Taoist is like, sorry, I can't actually, because I do really want to eat him.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. He's out for a mentality himself all along.
Yeah, like on one
mortality.
Hand, you are my, like, we've like sisters to me. We've known each other for so long. We're so close. The other hand,
I want
to
eat
I would
this
like
bucket.
To be immortal though.
Well,
so yeah, Wukong just kills the spiders.
Finally.
Yeah. Finally, equality.
It could have been avoided.
Wukong kills the spiders, and the Taoist kind of feels a bit bad for this having happened, and he decides he now needs to fight Wukong for revenge. And they last a good while, but the Taoist realizes he's starting to grow weak, and he plays his trump card. So he strips off his robe to reveal 1,000 laser eyes and laser blasts Wukong.
Whoa. We haven't had lasers in a while. I'm so excited.
I can see Rita's making a face at me. Do you have a comment?
Laser eyes.
1,000 laser eyes, yes.
So, okay. I mean, like, so,
okay.
not like laser belly buttons or laser, like, it's just eyes.
Yeah.
All the way down.
Yeah.
Down the Taoist's body.
Yeah.
Just eyes.
Yeah. So to be specific, obviously, a Ming Dynasty Chinese novel does not use the word laser, but he has eyes that fire golden beams of light.
Lasers!
Lasers.
Anthony Yu has our back.
You good?
Me?
No, Rita's very lost in thought here. She's giving me a thumbs up.
Considering the potential of 1,000 laser eyes.
Yeah. And
it's
they are
unusually...
Chapters
since we had a good laser.
I've no idea. It's been a while, yes. Unusually, these lasers are actually powerful enough to hurt Sun Wukong.
Ah.
So he's forced to flee. He transforms into a pangolin and burrows into the ground and tunnels a couple miles away to rest. And he's in a lot of pain.
No. I mean, when you think about Wukong in that situation, you're like, yeah. But when you think about a little pangolin...
Yeah. We don't have a huge amount left, but we're also running out of time in the Zoom meeting. Zoom is not going to let us make another meeting for 10 minutes because I did not get around to paying for it yet. Sorry.
That's all right. I don't have a computer.
I will send you another meeting invite in 10 minutes. Sorry.
Wait. I will chat to you then.
Oh, you can't. We can't record this. We can't record this. It's too hot for television.
God, we're a podcast.
You don't want to go on the record about your.
I don't want to go on the record about how the CIA did the Berenstain Bears.
Okay. This is because the CIA continuing to cover up their insidious
plots.
Their insidious MK Ultra Mandela effect plots.
MK Ultra never stopped. Is this podcast you're listening to real? Who knows?
No. Only no, it's not. Tell. You just think it's real because the CIA tricked you.
Listen, this is an opportunity to get out. If you go to the door.
Which means that you can subscribe to our Patreon and it won't even cost you any real money.
Or, you know, you could go to your door now, ring your own doorbell 3 times, and we'll be there to elect you. You know the truth now. You're ready to fight.
Fun fact, Cueva is a member of the CIA.
Ooh.
If you take first, second, and fourth letter of her name, it literally spells C-A-I. Which is kind of like CIA, if you kind of think about it.
It's an anagram. They can't resist anagrams. They're like vampires in that way.
Yeah.
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 Alucard with a gun.
Their workplace. This is top secret spy code.
I mean, this is great like...
comment.
It's funny to make ridiculous things like this, but it's not actually that far off from, like, ridiculous shit like conspiracy theorists people say about things of, like, oh, they're hiding the truth in plain sight for some reason. Like, why would they do that? Why would they put shitty clues about their conspiracy? Whatever. I'm just trying to spread doubt because I am the CIA plant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Podcast host Uncle Noel Cueva.
By which I mean I photosynthesize.
Cueva's skin is green, actually. You can't see it because of lighting.
Hmm. And also because we don't record video for this podcast.
No, we don't.
So like we don't record videos, so you can't even tell that I'm recording this in my pajamas.
Yeah, me too. I'm actually laying on my back looking at a poster on my wall in my pajamas. You can't see me. Many of you have never seen my face, but you just can rest assured that I am very, very hot.
Mm-hmm.
Cueva, turn off your phone. You're recording. Oh my gosh.
It's on Do Not Disturb now.
Stop collecting rings while recording. Oh.
See, if you make a joke about it, now I have to leave in the sound of me getting a text in the recording instead of just editing it out.
My jokes are disposable.
Yeah, so anyway, story, plot, podcast, monkeys. In fact, not monkeys at the
Your
moment.
Your jokes will be committed to the CIA archives forever.
Yeah, pangolins, because he turned into a fucking pangolin.
Yeah, they're so cute.
I'm a pangolin of pangolins.
When I was small, I looked up animals that can roll into balls because I wanted to understand which animals should be allowed to be a Sonic the Hedgehog. And this is how I learned about pangolins.
Oh.
And armadillos.
What a brand for baby Cueva. Armadillos are class.
That is adorable.
Pangolins are also great. I love Sandslash is my favorite Pokemon.
That is the cutest thing I've ever heard. Also, Sandslash is pretty. Sandshrew is cute.
This little swerve there. It's like Sandslash is. Sandshrew is cute. Yeah, sure.
Sandshrew is like one of my favorite Pokemon. Sandslash. Okay. I couldn't give a shit about.
Okay. So yeah, Sun Wukong, he tunnels out of the ground, turns back into a monkey, and he starts crying. He's pretty sad that fucking Tripitaka is dying and he's not really able to do anything about it. And he hears someone else behind him also crying. And there's a woman there in mourning garb, and he asks her what's wrong. So she
the spiders mourn around speed dial.
We're having delay talking over each other problems again, which is fairly constant but always annoying.
Yeah. I swear I don't interrupt people this much in real life.
Well, it's much easier when there isn't a delay and you can see the other person and judge cues. Apparently, the Taoist poisoned this woman's husband over a dispute concerning the sale of bamboo.
This guy's go-to is just poison.
Yeah, it seems like it.
You know, in slightest disagreement, just poison away all your problems. This is why he's so pissed over the mug being shattered. He's never learned how to deal with, like, healthy disappointments. Just poison, poison, poison.
So, this woman is taking some money to her husband's grave to burn it as an offering. And she notices Sun Wukong starts crying again when he hears her story, and she gets annoyed with him because she thinks that he's like mocking her by crying as well. I don't fully get this.
Bitch, this is my crying spot. Get your own.
Yeah. So
this
he
is my tier territory.
So he explains the whole situation with him and his pilgrimage and what happened here. And he's like, I was crying because what you said reminded me of my master, and you're burning this money for your husband, but I don't have anything even to burn for my master, and I can't. I've fucked up. And so the woman tells him eventually that the Taoist is a his name is the Demon Lord of 100 Eyes, or else also the Many-Eyed Fiend.
This explains he went to school with the spider ladies.
So yeah, he's a demon lord. But Sun Wukong can find a god named Falamba. I was not able to find how to actually pronounce this correctly. In Falamba is in the Thousand Flowers Cave on the Purple Cloud Mountain south of here, and she can help Sun Wukong beat 100 Eyes.
Lovely allies.
So the woman suddenly vanishes, and Wukong's like, oh, fuck, it wasn't a real woman. It was another god giving me advice.
They do that.
And it turns out they do this a lot for some reason. It turns out that the god was at, or the woman was actually Li Shan, she's the same spirit who in fucking chapter 23, however long ago we did that. Do you remember when years. The pilgrims came across a house and there was like a woman and her three daughters, and she was like, oh, I need some fucking husbands for my daughters, and
she was totally normal about it,
and it was yes, and it was a secret test of their chastity. It's the same god who did that is the one who just gave Wukong this advice.
Slut shame and unsolicited advice. It's don't care for this one.
So when Wukong goes to visit Falamba, she recognizes him immediately from the time he fucked up heaven.
Yeah, this is the thing. Asking Mukong to, like, he's either someone who was at the Peach Festival and just witnessed that messy thing, or he's stolen from, or that he owes money to, or whose relative he's killed.
or whose relative he has recruited as a servant to a god, and the relatives are pissed off about that.
Yes, this is not our family's god.
Yeah, she doesn't hold it against him. She's happy when she finds out he's, like, turned over a new leaf and is a Buddhist now and shit. So she comes back with him to deal with Hundred Eyes. So she has a weapon, takes with her an embroidery needle. And she said it's not made of any, like, normal steel or iron, but was cultivated in the eyes of her son. I have no idea what that means. There's not a footnote or anything explaining it. Her son is the constellation Maori Shengguan, or we talked about him before. It's the one that Anthony Yu translates as Orionis. Even though other sources I looked up seem to associate this constellation with Pleiades rather than Orion, but whatever.
Starboy.
She's his mom.
Ah, her boy's a star.
Yeah. So she flies back with him to the Abbey, and she just throws this needle into the air, and there's a loud crack, and all the laser beams just disappear. And when they land, they find Hundred Eyes is paralyzed and his eyes are sealed shut. So Pralamba then gives Wukong the antidote to the poison, and he gives it to all the lads, which makes them throw up immediately and wakes them up.
It's better happening.
Yeah, well, if you're just after eating a bunch of poison that's more deadly than arsenic, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So Baji almost kills the paralyzed Hundred Eyes, but Pralamba asks him to stop because she wants to recruit him as a guard because he's fucking laser eyes. So
I can see how that'd be useful, but you ensure some loyalty there.
I think the way she wants to ensure loyalty here is that she can easily kill him herself if she wants to.
Sure. That's a great incentive.
Wukong asks to see Hundred Eyes' true form, and Pralamba agrees, and she turns him back into what do you want to guess he is? What do you want to guess Hundred Eyes is?
He's a spider, maybe, is he?
He's not a spider.
Smoke. He's smoke.
He is a type of living creature.
Is he a millipede?
Very, very close. He's a 7-foot-long centipede.
Ah.
Yeah. So she picks him up and flies him off with her. That was a very strange phrasing. I just said she picks him up and she flies home and she brings him back to be her new guard.
Yeah, I was wondering how you flew someone off.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Yeah. I don't know what the kids are up to.
So yeah, Baji asks how she beat Hundred Eyes, and Wukong says, oh, well, Mao is a rooster, so Pralamba must be a hen, because she's his mam. And chickens are, like, fucking the best centipede killers in the world, so therefore, rock, paper, scissors.
They're fucking bastards is what they are. They're vicious evil creatures. Don't fuck with a chicken. You will regret it. I've seen them do some shit.
I've not been around chickens myself much, but I've heard stories. Yeah, and then that's pretty much it. They round up some food, they make a meal, they burn the abbey to the ground, and they hit the road again. I do enjoy how many
another
chapters
day,
end
another
with them just
murder.
casual arson. They're just like, oh, well, okay,
Yeah.
monster's dead. Let's just burn this fucking place to the ground. Bye.
I mean, you might as well.
I mean, it's an
No one's
abbey.
gonna
It's
come for
probably
you.
very, it's probably quite, like, it's described as being quite nice. Like, that building could be put to other
Oh, yeah. Like a community center. They could have a support groups for people with poisons. Husbands.
There's a hot spring just down the road.
Yeah, so that'd be a really nice resort.
And now vacant hot spring, I might, because they're all fucking dead.
Now I really want a bath.
Okay, yeah, that's it for this episode.
Woo.
We have a Patreon. If you subscribe to the Patreon, you'll get episodes as soon as they are finished being edited, instead of having to wait for the scheduled time. I will
You
be
get to pay for Zoom. That would be fun.
Yes. And by the time this goes out, I believe I will have already put the first episode of the other podcast I've started doing because I've lost control of my life, which is about the Ring series, you know, the series with the girl who comes out of the TV and kills you if you after you watch the tape kills you because the girl comes out of the TV, that series, with my friend Jen. The first episode of that should now, as you're listening to this, already be available for patrons of this podcast, because I didn't want to make a second Patreon account. and it will be going up publicly at the end of November, for if you want to wait till then to hear me ramble about the Ring.
I have heard Quiva ramble about the Ring on many occasions, and I would recommend.
Same.
Oh, you're awake. I thought you'd have to fall asleep.
No, I was listening the whole time.
Okay.
I'm still very asleep.
Okay. Cool. That's podcast.
Yes, we're good at this. Goodbye.
Bye.
Show notes, social medias. Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Rita.
Goodbye, Rita.